And welcome back. It's midday. I'm Tom Hall. Our Conversations with the Candidates series continues now with Liz Matori, the Republican candidate for Congress in the 2nd District. She's facing incumbent Democratic Congressman Dutch Ruppersberger. The 2nd District includes Fort Meade in the south in Anne Arundel County, to parts of Baltimore City and Howard County, Timonium and Owings Mills and Dundalk in Baltimore County, up to Aberdeen in Harford County. Liz Matori is a Silver Spring-based entrepreneur and business consultant and a former field worker for the Maryland Democratic Party. She quit the Dems in 2014 and this past June won the Republican primary in the 2nd District. This is Liz Matori's second run for the U.S. Congress. She lost a primary bid in the 8th District 2 years ago, and in 2014, running as a Democrat, she ran unsuccessfully for a seat in the Maryland House of Delegates. She is the co-author of a book called Born Again Republican. Liz Matori is a D.C. native. She is 38 years old. If you'd like to join our conversation with Liz Matori, our number here at Midday, 410-662-8780. Our email, midday@wypr.org. Our Twitter handle, @MiddayWYPR. And we are also, once again, streaming on the WYPR Facebook page. It's great to meet you. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
So your book, which I haven't had a chance to read, is Born Again Republican.
It's
you quit
awesome.
In 2014,
yes.
and now you're a registered Republican. So talk about that change of heart.
Right. I'm not only a registered Republican, I'm a conservative Republican all of a sudden. It's been an amazing transition. As you had mentioned, 2014, I was able to see how the sausage was made, so to speak, especially in Maryland politics. We're still a one-party state, unfortunately. As you know, there's been a great amount of gerrymandering, particularly for our congressional districts, to a point where in 2001, 2002, we used to have 4 Republicans and 4 Democrats. And then, actually, because of the Dutch Ruppersberger district, they gerrymandered it just for him. It used to be a solid Republican. Now it's a Dutch Ruppersberger district. So whether it's from my experience as running as a younger person, as a person of color, as a woman, I realized that the Democrat Party actually doesn't really support people of diversity. They just want our vote. And when you deal with that shock and awe, knowing how you want to see this society progress and really have sustainable growth, there are no solutions the Democrat Party has, not only for me, but for society, and particularly a place like City of Baltimore. So when I was a field organizer over in Randallstown for the Democrat Party, that's what I saw firsthand. And not only did I see it, the voters saw it too. So they actually voted cross-party and voted for Hogan 4 years ago. And that was a shock 4 years ago, but now I understand why.
And what does it mean in this day and age, in the age of Donald Trump, to be a Republican? We were just talking to Mr. Davis about this very same thing. I mean, there are those who say there's just 2 very distinct sectors of the Republican Party. So when you say you are a Republican, does that mean you're a so-called Trump Republican or an establishment Republican? Or are those designations even inadequate?
Well, honestly, the weird thing is we are patriots. The thing that connects a person like Governor Hogan or a person like myself and President Trump and all the people who voted for us is the fact that we love this country. And we have seen its degradation. We've seen the fact that, you know, whether it's 60 years of failed Democrat policies, liberal policies has destroyed communities like the city of Baltimore. We all have looked for better solutions. Many different people have different approaches. But for us, especially as Marylanders and Republicans in Maryland, we're a mix of both. You know, there are a lot of people, particularly in Dundalk, Essex, and Randallstown, that are sick and tired of business as usual. And they're looking for solutions. They're looking to our governor, who tends to skew moderate because we are a moderate state. But we'll also look to Congress to say, look, like, these are our taxpayers, taxpayer dollars. We need more solutions because what we've had, particularly in a place like this place with Dutch Ruppersberger, this stuff is unsustainable. So if anything, we represent those people, those patriots that are looking for solutions to make our society better versus let's just give it up and turn to socialism.
I don't doubt for a second your patriotism, but are you implying that Mr. Ruppersberger or Mr. Sarbanes or Mr. Cummings or the other members of the Maryland Congressional Caucus are not patriots?
I have a feeling that the policies that they are supporting, particularly the ones coming from radical leftist places like Jamie Raskin, are destroying our country. And if we don't have a counterweight to support people like Andy Harris. Right now, we only have one conservative voice that represents us. And when you're a field organizer for whatever party, you realize that Maryland is the most northern southern state and the most southern northern state. We have that history. We have that beautiful purpleness to us. Go Ravens, right? But our congressional delegation doesn't represent that diversity. So here in District 2, we actually can create that. Someone who was a former liberal. I mean, I worked for the ACLU when I was in law school, you know, so I was a raging liberal. But I went to Sidwell, you know, quintessential classic progressive.
That's a Quaker friend school right. in Washington.
Absolutely. I went to school with Chelsea. You know, all these different things that I still have in my heart. When you look to government to solve solutions for yourself, you realize that that's just not the right way to go. And so for someone who is like a youngish sort of up-and-coming professional, I don't want to see another generation of poverty. I don't want to see another group of people who feel like they've been left out and lost. And, you know, we have to look for better solutions. And I have found, and many of us are finding, that living by conservative principles, voting not 90% for one party, is actually beneficial just to even have a counterweight to hyper-progressivism.
So the Democrats, the Republicans, and the Independents in the 2nd District, then if they look to you to be a counterweight, a counterbalance to what they seem as the extreme policies of Mr. Trump, leave aside his Republicanism or lack thereof, when they look to somebody to be a counterweight to Donald Trump, is a vote for you going to give them that?
Well, I was specifically talking about the extreme measures of the Progressive Party, the progressive part of the wing, where they're about borderless nations. There's no such thing as a borderless nation. They're talking about, you know, putting everybody into failing public schools and not giving, you know, school choice, having late-term abortion. Those extreme policies are the things that I am going to fight against, absolutely.
What about separating kids from their families at the border? What about tariffs that are, you know, against the Republican principles of free trade? What about, you know, economic policy that seems to favor the very, very wealthy against the people on the lower end of the spectrum?
Well, let's start with the number one, talking about separating children. The policy that was created about 20 years ago was for a deterrent, not to encourage illegal immigration. And when the people are separated, they've not only crossed our border illegally, once they cross it twice. So first time you cross, it's a misdemeanor. Second time you do it as a felony. So just like any other person charged with a felony, you are separated from your children. And so that's sort of the reason why I get frustrated as a criminal justice person, is that the benefits that an unlawful entrant or an illegal alien gets, native-born Black people don't get from the jump. So that's number one. Number two, I think there's a lot of sort of conflation when it comes to immigration,
Let me ask you to explain that a little bit. Because a person, an African-American person whom you've mentioned, you know, who is convicted of a crime is in fact separated from his or her family, right? But is that an analogous situation to a person who is fleeing gang violence, domestic violence, you know,
Do we not have systemic violence in the city of Baltimore?
Well, of course we do.
Okay, so why don't we focus on there first? That is the point.
That's the difference. When it comes to priorities,
the priority is number one. The priority for any sitting congressman or woman are American citizens. And that's where you see the frustration. You see a person like myself who has given practically my life to one party with no result, and to say that, oh, just because I am considering another party, I'm considered the traitor. So I can't even get to, oh, you're separating people and all of the sort of propaganda that the left is proliferating. I'm talking about the fact that we are native born. And the fact that Black people are able to articulate their needs and their aspirations. Who else doesn't want to be an entrepreneur? Who else doesn't want to tap into their God-given potential and thrive? Who else doesn't want to make sure that their education system works for them and that children don't have to fall to the wayside? We have, Baltimore City specifically has, way more issues that we need to address from the jump. And that's why people like me are leaving the Democrat Party, tooth and nail because we are sick of it.
Liz Matori is the Republican candidate in the 2nd Congressional District. She's challenging the incumbent, Representative Dutch Ruppersberger. 410-662-8780. That's our number here at Midday. Our email, midday@wypr.org. Our Twitter handle, @MiddayWYPR. And we are streaming on the WYPR Facebook page. Ms. Matori, let's go to the phones. Jamie in Prince George's County, welcome to Midday. Thanks for your call.
Thanks for having me. My question was around North Korea and kind of the current state of affairs, the relationship that we have with them at this point, and what your stance would be if elected to ensure that it's not in a position to threaten the U.S. any further.
Hi, Jamie. Thank you for calling in. I really appreciate it. So I am a strong supporter of President Trump in reference to his policy, for example. We are talking about his extreme measures. President Trump is taking those risks that traditional or people who have come through the system have been afraid of doing. A lot of people have said that North Korea has been a puppet state for globalists. I don't know if that's true or not, but if you see that North Koreans are, a foot shorter than South Koreans, perhaps there is a critical need for American intervention. And our president has made that bold stance despite the pushback that they've had from other communities. So I welcome
and
the folks opportunity.
Folks would perhaps point to the fact that the North Korean regime is considered one of the most brutal regimes in the world.
Right.
So American intervention, that's interesting. Is that in opposition then to Mr. Trump's stated policy, his sort of general foreign policy doctrine of America first? And he's anti-globalist, he's anti-regime change. Mm-hmm. He's not interested in any of that, at least from many of his public statements.
Well, America first is not we are going to ignore the rest of the world. I mean, in reference to what I just said to you when you're telling me about, gang violence in El Salvador, and I say I care more about the city of Baltimore, I think that's an appropriate answer. But if we have a powder keg in the East, whether it's South China Sea or North Korea, I believe that our allies in that region need support and need help. So when we have the opportunity to lend a hand or to, encourage people to do better for themselves, that is where our American policy serves our vested interest.
We've talked about your decision to switch from Democrat to Republican in terms of your party registration. The district that you're running in, that Mr. Ruppersberger currently represents, has 5 different jurisdictions.
Yes,
Baltimore City,
does.
Baltimore County, Anne Arundel County, Harford County, Howard County. You don't live, nor have you ever lived, in any of those.
Actually, I do now.
All right. So where do you live? I'm told you're living in Silver Spring.
Right. So I said the condition of me winning the primary, which I did just last month, I said that I was going to move to District 2. So I'm going to be moving. I'm moving as of last week. I signed a lease and I'm ready to rock and roll. And
great. Where are you going to live?
In Parkville.
Uh-huh.
I'm trying not to tell exact same
addresses, exactly.
But in the county.
But in the county.
Right over the border. And, I think that's always been like the knee-jerk answer for people. But Sarbanes,
Mr. Trone in Montgomery County.
Sarbanes lives in Towson. He represents Silver Spring. I mean, come on. They gerrymandered.
But he lives in his district.
Yeah, but this district is ridiculous. You know how hard it is to find an apartment
that's
District 2?
I mean,
because you have to geolocate what's in Sarbanes, what's in Cummings, what's in, and quite frankly, Dutch is from here. But every single day, all day, every day, what I hear from his voters, from his constituents, is that he has forgotten them. He's from here. They've known him. He was his child's, baseball coach. But since I was the age of 5, this man has been in elected office. And so, quite frankly, any issues that the Baltimore County, County Council, County Executive, or Congressman has is duly at his feet. And a lot of people in his district feel like he's got to go, which he does have to go, and that he has forgotten where he came from. So maybe it's reverse. Yeah, I'm a D.C. native, and I see how corrupt the District of Columbia is, and I am willing to drive however far I need to in order to make sure that people in District 2 have better representation because they need it desperately.
How about cybersecurity? Mr. Ruppersberger points to the fact that there are many cybersecurity institutions in this district, Fort Meade and, you know,
a whole
list of others. How would you assess Mr. Trump's characterization of the Russia investigation and election interference as a hoax and the current White House's evident reluctance to put money, resources, and priority into preventing more election meddling or interference in 4 months?
I don't know about it being a hoax, but it's definitely a distraction. You mentioned the NSA. The NSA could totally figure out who did it. They have the power to do so.
They have figured out who did it.
So therefore, they're
going.
Right. So what the Russians did not force me to vote for Donald Trump. Hillary Clinton's corrupt policies and her lack of ability to care about black people is the reason why I voted for Donald Trump. So at the end of the day, when you point to Russia, any progressive that points to Russia as if that's the only reason that we have Donald Trump totally negates my own citizenship.
Well, I'm not saying that's the only reason we have Donald Trump.
But that's
means.
Where I'll, you know, I'm not talking about you.
Yeah.
I'm talking about how the narrative is, oh, it's almost as if cognitive dissidence.
When no, but I'm saying, here's an administration that's not taking
right.
this threat seriously.
I don't think that that's not accurate, because obviously we have a special investigator. We have half of the FBI in spending millions, close to now almost half $1 billion to investigate said apparent, you know, issue.
Well, that's investigating Mr. Trump's potential wrongdoing. I'm talking about the Russian desire, aspiration, and evidently efficacy in actually interfering in elections.
But I thought that they wanted Bernie Sanders to be the primary opponent. Wasn't that what they were investing a lot of their interest in?
Mr. Putin said in Helsinki that he supported Mr. Trump.
So that's my point, is that I don't worry about what Russia does, because I worry what the DNC did. DNC absolutely positively stole the election, stole the primary from Bernie Sanders. They took millions of pre-primary money, as Donna Brazile wrote in her book that never got coverage, that it was an unfair primary. So again, if there are foreign entities that are trying to meddle, the one thing that the foreign entity has done is, again, make the American citizens question not only their government, but quite frankly, they question the media as well. And that actually is worse than any infiltration of a foreign entity, because we now have lost faith in our institutions. And that's a surefire way to get rid of a democracy.
If people, in fact, have lost faith in their institutions, if, in fact, Mr. Trump's characterization of the press as the enemy of the people is accurate and valid.
Well, half the country thinks that now. So,
okay. Do you think that?
Seeing the fact that I was called a racist for calling somebody out, yeah, I have a very big problem with how the liberal media portrays people who are not lockstep where they are coming from. You know, I know the owner of, you know, New York Times, and I went to school with the Washington Post kids. Like, they don't faze me per se, because they have a narrative. You want to sell books, you want to sell, you know, newspapers, you want to get clicks, you know, so.
But
if
the role of a free press in
it's
a democracy?
We don't have press anymore. We have conglomerates. We have three or four, except for public broadcasting, everything is controlled by three media entities. And so we talk about how editors don't have discretion anymore. The frustration from the reporter stance is that, gosh, I wish I could cover you, but my producers won't allow me to. So that's why I'm so excited for you to have me and Mr. Davis on, is because, you know, the average Republican hardly gets any time on media. So you talk about free press, then free the press. Allow press to cover the diversity, the real true diversity of the people running. You know, the frustration that the other Democrats were running against all these incumbents were, they actually wrote a press release about it, is that between 20 different people tried to run against the incumbents for our congressional delegation. Not one article was written to cover them. So again, if you are wanting to have freedom of the press, then allow for Americans, citizens, to know what their options are.
Nope, so that's why we're here, as a matter of fact.
Right. So you can throw out the tagline, but live it.
Mm-hmm. Well, we are running out of time, but so when it comes to the distrust and the lack of faith in institutions, mm-hmm. like the institution of the United States Congress,
absolutely.
Whose approval ratings remain in the tank for years,
in the crapper, correct?
What does a vote for you do mm-hmm. to help people restore yeah. their confidence in the U.S. Congress?
Thank you for that question. I think my campaign would blow people's minds. Even the fact that I am the GOP nominee for Congress is history making, right? I know for a fact there are a lot of people who are in the state house, for example, who if they could be Republicans, they would. But again, they're stuck in the Democrat Party. These are our elected officials. So if you have an opportunity, and we do have an opportunity for voters, the citizens, to exercise their voice and their vote, it's right here in District 2. Challenge the system. Vote for someone else besides Dutch Rupersberger. You've been voting for him since I was 5 years old.
Yeah, but is it
Why
anybody
not?
But Dutch Rupersberger?
Or no,
is it you
me.
In particular?
It's absolutely me, and because I'm just like them. I am just like the voters in District 2. I am just like the average citizen in Maryland who is absolutely frustrated and wants better for not only myself, but for society at large. And that we live by conservative principles until we vote. So we wonder why things are so off kilter. It's because the people who we've elected, and quite frankly, we were talking about Congressman Cummings. Congressman Cummings was my mentor. Mayor Schmoke is still my mentor. The people who have been through the ringer of the Maryland Democrat Party know exactly how corrupt they are. And the voters have an opportunity to go right to the top, vote Liz Matory for Congress to make sure that your vote actually does count.
You make a compelling and persuasive case, and I appreciate your coming by, and it's been great to meet you. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Tom.
Liz Matory, she is the Republican candidate in Maryland's 2nd Congressional District. She's challenging the incumbent, the Democrat Representative Dutch Rupersberger. He has held that seat since 2003. So that's it for us today. Tomorrow we'll be on the road on the Eastern Shore. We'll broadcast live from historic Sumner Hall in Chestertown. We'll explore the future of healthcare and education in Kent County, and we'll explore the rich history of African Americans on the Eastern Shore. Tickets to be part of the live audience for Midday tomorrow in Chestertown are sold out, but we hope that you'll tune in to the radio or online for Midday live from Sumner Hall. If you are holding a ticket and you know for some reason that you're not going to be able to attend the event tomorrow in Chestertown, please go online and release your ticket so that one of the folks on the waiting list can take advantage of it. Thanks for listening today. Stay tuned for Here and Now. It's coming up after news, which happens at the top of the hour. I'm Tom Hall. Thanks for listening. Have a great day.